welcome to the FSF Popcast live show.
Hello there, kids and cadets. Welcome to the FSF Popcast. I am your host. I am Tim. This is Kathleen, the co-host. And hello. Below us, that beautiful bald head can only be the one, the only, Jason Taylor. I don't get to talk about his bald head.
Thank you, man. I've never had anybody like describe my head as beautiful. So I appreciate that. It's very nice of you.
And I meant that wholeheartedly because I've often looked at people who are bald and I'm like, you know, or who have some hair and they shave it down. And I'm always like, I've always thought, well, I mean, I would do that. And then I don't because I'm chicken and I have a weird shaped head. So for those of you with beautifully round shaped heads, way to go.
My head is far too lumpy for me to ever shave my head.
John Wall says, hello, you wonderful nerds. Right back at you, John. We are not late again. It was not even 7:01 yet, and we were already going. So shush.
He was trying to push the buttons.
I was pushing. It wasn't quite bad as last week's live at 5 where I hit the button and nothing was happening. And so, yeah, I think I started off by saying that this episode is brought to you by the White Stripes and their song, The Hardest Button to Button. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a lot to talk with you guys about tonight. Or, like I said, last week in our live, we were calling it, it was called the Pop Culture Catch Up. We're still trying to play catch up of having several weeks off, both Kathleen and I, for various reasons. And yeah, so we're just trying to get our feet wet back in the saddle and keep on going. John says that I need to let Kathleen push the buttons. She's an expert.
Oh, John. I love John. He likes to sleep in the doghouse, I think. But I was told that to be on this show today, I'd have to break my arm later. So I am not looking forward to that, but I'm happy to be here with you guys.
If it helps you any, if you just slightly tweak your right shoulder, you can fit in. You don't have to break anything. Just a slight tweak, you know, just something that could moderately possibly need surgery later.
Honestly, at your age, you could just sneeze.
It's true. It's facts. Or just wake up and stretch. I did just get a shot in my right arm. Maybe that counts.
If it hurts later, yes, it'll definitely count.
Did I sleep wrong, or is this just how I feel now?
Right.
Did I sleep wrong, or am I one sneeze away from ending my life?
So. Every day after you turn 30.
Exactly. John says, I love you too, Jason. I'm seriously considering embracing nature as you have.
You should.
No John. Way.
See, there's I don't want to insult anybody in the audience, but I call it the island haircut with the hair on the sides and nothing on top. Just let it go, guys. Let it go.
Oh, I call it the U-shape. It's the U-boat.
The Costanza. It doesn't look good on men, most men. I mean, some men, sure, can pull it off, but just allow the bald to happen. It's fine. It'll look good, John. You'll look great. And, you know, it's easier to ask for Kathleen's forgiveness afterwards, so just do it.
There you go. Shave the head, keep the beard. You'll look wonderful, John.
He's going to get reacquainted with that recliner really, really fast.
So, hey, Jay, before we get into anything else, tell everybody what's new over in the world of Three Geeks, because we haven't had you on for a little while.
Yeah, how many geeks been over are there right now?
Are you still at Three Geeks, or have we bumped back up to 7?
We're down to a 3 plus a mic. We're live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Max and I just did a cast last weekend discussing the Kendrick Lamar Drake feud that's going on right now, which is amazing if you're into that music. And we're just doing everything. I'm all over social media again. Social media is exhausting. Like, I don't know how you guys do it either. It's exhausting.
I don't. I just let Tim do it.
I do it. I do all of it.
It's exhausting. We're too old to be doing social media, Tim. Kathleen should be doing the social media. She's in her 30s, right?
Kathleen is too busy being the ultimate soccer mom and taking everybody to their appointments since I am the only one who can drive.
I find myself that I'm supposed to be this Gen X guy who doesn't care about anything, but especially social media and forcing myself to care. And sometimes I'm like begrudgingly pushing the buttons, and I think it comes out in some of the things I text. And I'm like, probably gonna have to go edit that later.
But so begrudging in which direction, though? Are you becoming a boomer, or are you a cranky elder millennial?
probably closer to the cranky older millennial. Because I'm right on the verge anyway. I'm at the tail end of Gen X and at the start of the elder millennials. You know, because I think the cutoff for Gen X was supposed to be late 70s, like 78. And I'm 76. I was born in 76. So I'm right at the tail end of one, beginning of the other.
Right.
But yeah.
You don't look that old, Tim, I got to say. But no, thank you. To catch up with you guys. Yeah. So I watched My Adventures with Superman. Freaking loved it. If you guys haven't seen that, I watched X-Men 97, which is the best show Fantastic. On television right now. And okay. I think I'm getting into animation a little bit because I've never been a fan. And after watching these things today that we're going to talk about, I might, because my girlfriend wants me to introduce her daughter to Star Wars, I might watch Clone Wars with her. I might start us there like you suggested, Tim. Because I haven't seen it yet. And like I said, I'm on this animation high right now. And
Clone Wars is so good. So good.
Oh, my God. John,
yeah, Anna. Anna, do you hear him?
Shut up, Kathleen.
Never!
And to, John, to answer your question, here it goes. Should I step up my social media game because I'm currently stuck in the role of Passenger Prince? Yes, please. And then John says, yeah, it has legitimately, yes, it has. X-Men 97 has legitimately made me cry.
Oh, my God. I was crying like a baby to a cartoon. It's like, what?
Oh.
It's happening to me.
It's been the last couple episodes, too. It wasn't just one episode. It's been the last couple.
Yeah.
And especially when Rogue, a couple, this is no longer spoilers, so whatever. But when Rogue says, I can't feel you. And done. Yeah, that was rough. Kathy needs to watch Clone Wars, too, and Rebels. I'm sorry, what?
I haven't watched all of them.
Oh, Kathleen.
And you have mocked me all this time?
Mercilessly.
Well, it was nice having Kathleen here tonight.
It's fine. I can take on the role, Kathleen.
I can be in the corner. Bye.
I can't do that for too long because she will take off. If I have her out there for more than about a five count, she's going to be like, and, well, I'm done.
Bye.
So I was going to just see back end and elbows here in about 30 seconds if I hadn't.
I'm just going to crawl into my bed and go back to sleep. I've already got the blanket. I'm working my way back over there.
Slowly but surely.
It will become right,
so,
one.
Before we get into tonight's topic, just one real quick note. So we have restructured our Patreon channel because we want you guys to get kind of more bang for your buck. So anybody who has been a Patreon subscriber in the past or wants to become a Patreon subscriber, I think that the new levels on Patreon will make it more appealing to you. At least that's what we're hoping. So instead of a $3, $10, $20 levels, we have a $1, a $3, and a $15 levels. Now, at the $1 level, you get early access to all the interviews when they come out, usually a week ahead of time. Now, when that happens, you'll get access to audio and video on our Patreon channel only. Those things aren't posted anywhere else. And of course, any free content, if we do any Ask Me Anything sessions or anything along those lines, the $1 access has all of those. The $3 access has all of that plus the access to bonus content on the backside. So extra footage, things that we cut out of the interview, the pre-show stuff, any of that kind of stuff, that's all in there. And that'll be part of the $3 package. Now, the $15, the reason why there's such a jump is because if you're a $15 Patreon subscriber and you do it for 3 months in a row, we will include you not only on camera in one of our live shows, but you have the opportunity to take part in our Star Wars RPG as a one-off character for one of the nights. So you'll have an opportunity to come on two of our live shows. So we put that as a little bit higher dollar amount because there's only 10 spots available. So we're expecting most people to subscribe in the $1 and the $3 range, but you also have opportunity at the $15 range to buy your way into our hearts and to be able to, you're smiling about something. I saw your name pop up in the comments. I haven't looked. I'm going to wait till I'm done and then I will look over there. But and then have an opportunity to come out and play with us here on screen. And then, of course, roll some dice with us in a Star Wars RPG. Let's see. Kathy says, I don't have any bonus content on my backside. Hashtag pancake butt.
You gotta be careful the way you're wording things.
I see this. John, I'm tired, so that's probably not going to be a thing. John says, I have questions for you, Tim. First of all, how dare you? How dare I what?
You'll I think you said that the then. Episodes will be a week early.
Oh, well, they're usually a week early or close to a week early. John's been kicking butt. He's been doing great. Way to go, John.
But now he has John. To keep up with that. You've set the bar too high.
Potentially a week early. Up to a week early. There we go. How about that? Much better. Okay. But yeah, so tonight our topic is we are going to talk about the Tales of the Empire. This show was just released on Saturday, May 4th, so just a couple days ago. So if you haven't watched it, there are going to be spoilers discussed tonight for the Tales of the Empire, and we're going to review them. Not a deep dive review, but there will be some content that we're going to talk about as far as it applies with somebody who has clearly not watched the episodes and they don't know what they're talking about, Kathleen. So anyway.
You, sir.
At least Jason. Rude. Anyway, so, and is looking to watch the others. So, yeah, so we're going to talk about that. And so, as you know, Tales of the Empire is like Tales of the Jedi. So when they released the Tales of the Jedi shorts, it showed the point of view of two different Jedis in short form. So we saw Count Dooku and his slide and descent into the dark side of the Force. And then we saw Ahsoka and some of the things that she went through and how she survived Order 66. I watched the episodes. You could have said that into a microphone.
I just didn't say I watched all of them.
Yes, exactly. Okay. this year, instead of being Tales of the Jedi, it's Tales of the Empire. And we're getting stories about Morgan Elsbeth, who we first met in Season 2 of The Mandalorian, in an episode called The Jedi, where we get live-action Ahsoka for the first time. And so there's three episodes about Morgan Elsbeth, and then we have three episodes about Ferris Ophi. The last time we saw her was Season 5 of The Clone Wars. She had just framed Ahsoka for the explosion of the temple and all these different things, and got Ahsoka expelled from the Jedi Order because she was embarrassed trying to bring it down from the inside. And the last time we see her is at is Tim's audio wonky? Is my audio bad?
It's coming through funky for me.
Okay. Yeah, so the last time we see Barriss, she is standing in front of the Council in Season 5 of Clone Wars, and the Tribunal, rather, the Republic Tribunal, and she is escorted away to jail. That's the last we've seen of her. And so it's been about, 10, 12 years since that episode aired, and so getting it back on screen and figuring out what happened to Barriss is what we're going to talk about tonight. Mm-hmm. So that sets the table. Let's talk about Tales of the Empire, and we'll start off with the Morgan Elsbeth story. Jason, do you have any first thoughts as somebody who kind of came into this?
My first thoughts for the Morgan Elsbeth story is I was so lost in the first three episodes trying to keep up because I haven't seen all the content in the animated shows yet. But I liked what I saw enough that I was asking Tim questions in our private chat. I was like, who is this? Where do I find out what happens with the rest of this story? So, the character was fascinating. I'd want to learn more about the character. So, the show was effective in that sense. I liked the animation and the voice acting quite a bit. At least short episodes. I don't know how somebody couldn't have finished the series in, an hour.
Because there's six of them and they're 15 minutes long and the time doesn't work. No, it's literally just math doesn't math.
Some of them are 13 minutes. Well, you do you.
Well, you get rid of the credits, too, and that cuts off, 5 minutes of each episode.
Exactly. You don't watch them all the way through. God.
Right.
Because
that's how you super opinionated, this is terrible, and then people have to mock you for the rest of your life.
So there's that. So anyway. So anyway, yeah. I actually, for me, the story of at the first time I watched this series on, so I watched it Saturday when they aired. The first time I watched it, I was so John and I were talking, and we were chatting back and forth, and I told him, like, these first three episodes are so meh. I was so disinterested in them, but I think it's because that was the perception I had. I didn't really care about Morgan Elsbeth's story anymore, because, you know, of what I saw of her out of the rest of the Ahsoka series and what I saw of her out of the Mandalorian series. I was just like, well, I really don't care. It really doesn't matter to me if I know any more about Morgan Elsbeth. But what I found was, I sat back down and I was watching them again this morning, and I started seeing things that I missed the first time, little Easter eggs that were put in, little things that tied it to this episode in Clone Wars, things that tied it to this episode in Rebels, things that tied it to Ahsoka. And I was like, oh, okay. So one of the things I think that Filoni is really, really very good at is connecting the dots.
Yeah.
Makes things make sense. And that's why I call him the Holy Filoni, hallowed be thy name. Anyway, so yeah. Not that I have a shrine built for him, but, you know, whatever. Possibly. Anyway.
I buy a shrine.
What's the shrine? So anyway. But what I liked was that I was watching this, and it caught my attention because I had just watched the episode of Rebels where Thrawn and Governor Price are chasing Mon Mothma and the crew of the Phoenix, and the Ghost, rather, in the Phoenix squad, through the eye of this star that's being born, or, you know, and as they're flying through it, and the only thing that they can chase through it with is this specialty TIE fighter. And it looks, it's an interceptor TIE, and it's really cool looking. And as you watch the Morgan Elsbeth story, episode two of the Morgan Elsbeth story, there it is on screen. There's the prototype drawings. She's sitting in front of the Empire, explaining why this ship needs to get built. And they're like, yeah, we don't care. We're just coming to take your land and all your resources.
Right, because there is nothing that the Empire does better than destroy themselves.
Pretty much.
That was one of the things that John and I were talking about, too, that Morgan Elsbeth came up with the design for the three-wing TIE Defender, gave it to Thrawn, but then the Rebels crew, or in Rebels, the crew destroyed the factory that was making the TIE Defenders. Like, it's just watching the amount of things that the Empire does you have that idea, but we're going to do this instead.
And they totally ignore you, yeah.
They end up biting themselves in the butt so many times with but we wanted to do this. No, we're gonna do this project instead.
Right.
This project also has one crucial flaw too, that's going to be easily exploited and destroyed. And
yeah, because I love the fact that they're sitting there in this meeting around this table, and there is the explanation as to why this TIE fighter is so much better than anything else that's there.
Mm-hmm.
That the Empire already has, and they're like, yeah, that's gonna cost too much, we're just not gonna do that, but we're gonna take the rest of your ideas and go do something else with it. And to me, that was just kind of funny. And then I shut that off, and I went and I was watching, like I said, I went to watch Rebels, because I'm in my Star Wars chronological watch through right now. I'm in Rebels, and I literally, that was the next episode. I clicked play and I was like, oh. So then I went back and watched that episode of Morgan Elsbeth again. And like, it was like little light bulbs started going off. Oh, yeah. And then I was starting to see connection. So I went from thinking that the Morgan Elsbeth story wasn't critical, wasn't crucial, and that she really didn't need anything more about it. And now I'm at least happy that we got a little bit more explanation. We got a little bit more tie-in. The end of Morgan Elsbeth's story, the fields on fire, the woods are on fire behind her.
Yep.
And when we first meet Ahsoka in The Mandalorian,
they're still smoking
because that was Ahsoka's voice on the little communicator.
No, it wasn't.
Who is this? It wasn't?
No, it's Bo-Katan.
Was that Bo-Katan's voice?
It's Bo-Katan.
Oh, okay.
Watch it with closed captionings on.
Oh, and she said this is Bo-Katan.
I did not hear it say this is Bo-Katan. All I heard her say was, who is this?
Yeah, okay. Like John made me watch it again with the closed captions on. He's like, you need to pay attention to this.
My world's on fire. How about yours?
That's the way I look at it. I'll never get bored. I hate you, John Woss.
I love you, John Woss.
Okay. Sorry, I will have to go back and watch that again with the closed. I thought I had closed captions on. I didn't notice it, but okay.
You read?
I read the bestest. I'm the goodest reader ever.
I know somebody who could teach you. Conveniently, she's in your house.
I'm the favorite reader.
Your daughter, so.
Oh, no, we're still working on that one with her.
Okay. Well, she could probably still out teach me. All right. So that was Bo-Katan. Yeah. Well, that kind of changes a few Bo-Katan. Things in my mind.
But if you then think about the episode of The Mandalorian when Mando is telling Bo-Katan that he needs somebody to watch the child, and she says that her friend is already on that planet. Like, it's kind of looking, at least now, like it's the, wait, no, Bo-Katan sent Ahsoka there.
So. What's up, Ro? Ro from the Scarif Scuttlebutt podcast. He's listening up, as guys? He drives home. Excellent. Thank you, buddy. Go check them
I can't
out.
Believe I just, was worst thing Tim didn't know. That makes me so happy.
I missed that somehow. That's a really kind of a good note. Because that actually changes a little bit of the perspective of that whole idea. Because in my mind, it was Ahsoka. And so that's where how she knew where to go.
Bo-Katan.
Katan. All right.
So I will say, though, that I was watching this, a lot of it with the asking John the, wait, is that who I think it is? That is actually Thrawn. That's not just a different blue guy, right? Like, Star Wars isn't this confusing me.
They changed how he was drawn a little bit.
Well, it was also I'm not as familiar with it because I haven't seen all of the episodes of Rebels and Clone Wars and all that. I've seen most of them, but I haven't seen all of them. And so it was the, wait. And then, wait, is Morgan Elsbeth, is that one of the creepy witch ladies? And, like, I think he got a little annoyed with me with the, seriously? And then as she's walking out, she's got the spear, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's the Beskar spear that then she gives to Grogu's daddy. It's like, yeah.
So you were doing to John what I do to Shayna at musicals. What's their name? Why are they singing at this person? What's going on now? Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
Pretty much. And it was funny, though. It's like I was thinking about it while I was watching it and then thinking about it while I was getting ready for the show tonight, too, with the, I've seen so much Star Wars. I could not, for the life of me, name 75% of the characters by just looking at a picture of them. I'm like, this is so bad.
Characters. Me and my girlfriend had this conversation because we'll watch an episode of a show, and by the end of the episode, she'll know the characters throughout the rest of the series. It takes me like two seasons to know who anybody is on the show.
It's just, it's weird because I'm like, there are other things that my brain will absorb like nobody's business. But
John says the difference is that Kathleen doesn't interrupt an amazing song with her questions.
Oh, there's that. You're welcome. I do typically interrupt amazing songs with my own singing because I can't help it, but
that's fine. That's acceptable. I'm supposing because, you know, you're a musical fan. I am not. All right. So any other thoughts on Morgan Elsbeth's story? Because I like the fact that we had just a little bit more connection. We got to see because the way that it's set up with Ahsoka, we really don't understand her connection to Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Right.
And we have. But now we do. We see how they're connected. We see how. You know, how she went from being a Night Sister to being a member of the Empire to working for Grand Admiral Thrawn, which was the connection that I was trying to figure out with all of this. And oh, and one other thing, I wanted to point this out. So one of my biggest misgivings about the Clone Wars, one of the things that I've always kind of felt was an area where they do lack. is their treatment of General Grievous.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Clone Wars, General Grievous is almost there for comedic relief. He's not the menacing, like the original version of the Clone Wars, the 2D micro series. General Grievous is almost downright scary in that series.
Right.
In this series of the Clone Wars, the official Star Wars version, it's kind of, I don't know, like I said, he's almost there for comedic relief. But that first episode when they are attacking, he's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's convincing about how they were attacking Dathomir and going after the Night Sisters and all the different things that are alluded to in a couple episodes of the Clone Wars, but this shows it at a much stronger pace, even though it's just for the couple minutes of the attack, because it is a short animation series. I did like the fact that they showed that attack on a grander scale, because before it was just, you know, Count Dooku and a couple of troopers, the robot troopers.
Yeah.
Just some B1s. Now we've got B1s, B2s, and Grievous going through and just tearing stuff up. So I thought that was really very cool that they showed him as the feared leader that they talk about in the movies. You know, if we just can shut this guy down, if we can just do this, if we can just do that. So I did like that.
The B1s, the B2s, the BGs. Anyway.
Exactly. Staying alive. Staying alive. Scarif Scuttlebutt says, agree. I think he's talking about my view of General Grievous and the way he's viewed in this series. And so it's kind of like I said, it's nice to see, because we didn't have that before. And it gives another perspective on some of the things that the Separatists had working for them at this point of the war.
I like, too, in the Morgan Elsbeth story, too, with the, I'm here on behalf of the New Galactic Empire, or the New Galactic Republic, and it's the, wait, what? What do you mean? What do you mean the Empire? Right? News gets to us slower here. Like, does it get to you slower, or did they not want you to know?
Or because it was the New Republic, and as we've seen through Mandalorian and Ahsoka, that the New Republic was a hot mess. And they couldn't get their crap together if they tried. And so having that, I like the fact that she showed up with like four guards who barely look like they just learned how to get their, you know, their pistols out of the holsters like the week before.
We know how to pick up our guns.
Maybe they're ex-stormtrooper. We know they can't shoot.
That's true.
Yeah, but at least the stormtroopers knew how to get their guns up fast. I mean, they weren't doing anything good with them, but they could at least get them up fast. There's a lot of little things in the Morgan Elsbeth story that are just nice little tie-ins. Was it critical, crucial to her story and how we perceive her moving forward? Probably not. But I think that as we go into Ahsoka season 2 and we see what's happening with the Night Sisters and Thrawn and everything else, we're going to appreciate those tie-ins a little more, I think. So, all right. Before we go on to Barriss Offee, just want to remind everybody that our show is made possible by the support of our show partners that, of course, are Storylines, TCT, Nerd Shirts and Merch, Level Up Sabers, and Monkey Cult Coffee. There Which are links to everything.
More Monkey Cult Coffee today.
I probably should have had more Monkey Cult Coffee today because I could probably use it right now. We have links for those all down below. And, of course, you have discounts available, discount codes for TCT and Monkey Cult Coffee. Make sure you use those. Get yourself some nerd merch. Get yourself some amazingly good coffee with the discount codes shown down below. Click the buttons. Buy the things. Be happy. Have good things. All right.
You deserve to be happy.
It's right. You certainly do. All right. Barriss Offee, who
this
apparently.
Was awesome. Right? I love this. Yeah. It almost had a beginning, middle, and end. Like, I felt like there was some form of a complete story with her arc in this. I really like
it. I agree.
It. And as somebody who, like, again, had context for this character, I was in for this story. I really, really, really liked it.
Yeah, I hard agree. I was now Barry Sophie going into it was the one that I was hoping to. This is the one I wanted to see. These are the three episodes I was looking most forward to because watching the Clone Wars as many times as I have, knowing how her story ends in Clone Wars, where it's just basically just like boom and done. So to see her character get some closure is pretty cool because she's in and out of the Clone Wars episodes many times. So you see her throughout the Clone Wars in different areas, different places. She works very closely with Ahsoka. So you get to know her a little bit. So being, you know, just knowing that she's just and done was kind of weird. But having the
this was the one I was looking forward to the least because I'm over the time period that this one takes place during.
Okay.
But I definitely I really liked it a lot.
Yeah. I think they do a really good story. Like you said, really good arc of introducing where she was to where she had to where she ended up. And I think they tied those three episodes in very, very well. I really liked the episode called Realization. That was the second one where she realizes that, okay, so I didn't like what was going on with the Jedi, but I really don't like what's happening here with the Inquisitors, and that's not where I wanted to be. Scarif says, Robot Scarif says, kind of my least favorite arc, although I do like me a fourth sister, because I'm freaky like that. Three Geeks says, Kathleen needs to play The Sims and she can cosplay as a person. But I did like this story because now I had a running rumor or theory rather out there. You guys are having fun in the comments. I'm glad I don't have much to add to this. Huskies are too noisy. Oh, her neighbor's dogs are going off apparently. So, what was I going to say? Oh, so I had a theory for a long time that Barriss Offee became Marak in the story of Ahsoka in the Ahsoka series. And I was, even though in the trailer it looked like that's not what was going to happen, this series shot my theory in the face, killed it, buried it, beat it with a shovel, and then put more dirt on top of it. So, sad face. Barriss Offee is not Marak. I have said that many times that that's why I felt this was going. I have put it in print. I have in a couple of different articles I've written. But yeah, Barriss Offee is not Marak. In the I think it's the first episode of the arc where she's going through her training, or maybe it was the start of the second episode. I don't remember. They come in, they kneel down before Darth Vader, and Marak is just to her left.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Yeah,
so close.
At the end of the episode, they said they purposely wanted to ruin Tim by Siegel's theory.
Specifically want to make this one random weirdo from Michigan cry.
Do you know how giggly I would have been if I would have saw my name somewhere in the credits? That we're destroying this theory of this guy's, and it was my name, and my name was in a Star Wars credit. You would never, ever hear the end of it. I'd be walking up to every single person I met from now to the time I die, be like, "Hi, I'm Tim. I had the theory that was destroyed by Tales of the Empire, season episode 2, right at the end of the credits, says my name right there. I'm in Star Wars credits." You would never hear the end of it.
All I can imagine is at the very, very end, you know, when it gets to the point where, like, the print is, like, this big and it's going really, really fast because it's, like, 1,000 different things that they're, all of these tiny little things, and then the very bottom line just says, "Screw you, Tim." Like, yeah, that's it.
I'd be totally cool with that. "Screw you, Tim Bicycle. Done. My name is Tim." I would take screenshots. I'd be forwarding it to everybody. And, yes, I would beat that dead horse so many times, Crusher Convo. You have no idea. I'd be all over that and be like, yeah, they talked about me. Star Wars talked about me.
Hey, John, can you edit our ending credits for the show, please?
Listen to the FFF podcast. We will never use Tim by Siegel's ideas.
Just at the end of our little disclaimer. In teeny tiny little print at the bottom. Screw you, Tim.
Tim would change his name to Dave Filoni. Knows my name.
That's pretty much what it would be, too. Go, oh, my God, he knows my name. Dave Filoni knows my name.
You know, it was
Dave Filoni knows who I am.
Oh, it was bad enough when we did our interview with Daniel Jose Older. And it was the our questions have to be approved by Lucasfilm and Disney. I'm like, oh man.
I'm not saying that I have that email laminated.
But we know that you do, because you told us you were going to.
But I totally have that email laminated because it I got approval from Disney. Something Disney and Lucasfilm that's right there with my name attached to it. Boom. Yeah.
Dude. I would have it. I'd have 12 copies of it around my house.
You're lucky. Like, you're lucky that you haven't had one mailed to your address.
between that and then finding out that Josh Pruitt had some issues with Disney, and it's the wait, no, somebody at Disney got mad at us.
True story.
Oh gosh.
John Wass says there'd be so much worse when I point at a building and tell Kathleen that I drywalled it 20 years ago. There is that.
Yeah.
Wilkie's movies and music rather. Let me try that one more time so I can say your name properly. How about that? Wilkie's movies and music. Hey, y'all, right back at you, buddy. Sorry about that. And Crusher Convo says at that point, you could just die. You have no clue. There will be a copy of that laminated sitting on my chest, me holding it when I die. And right as I'm shoved into the thing that burns you to death, the Anakin treatment,
crematorium.
There we go.
Giant cremated.
Your and next then
after Christmas. They take you out of the giant furnace, they put you in the giant blender.
That's right. Yeah. Shayna's like,
I shouldn't have found out about. Sorry.
Years ago, I told Shayna about this, that one of the, you know, when I die, I want to be cremated. It's just, and I'm like, she's like, so what do you want to, I'm like, give me the Anakin. She's like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah, no. I had to explain that to her. But anyway. So let's finish up here real quick about Barriss, and then I want to jump over to another similar Star Wars topic. But there's
more Star Wars.
More Star Wars. There's a trailer that I want to watch real quick.
Yes!
So, all right. So just on a quick conclusion, Barriss Offee, it is not the ending I was expected, but I am happy with the ending I got.
Oh, it was so good.
It made me actually want more Barriss Offee story, to have those three episodes, it kind of exploded and see her in that final role that we see her in, as the healing mother. I would love to see more of that actually. And very happy with the ending we got. And I would love, like I said, would love to see more of it. Ask Kathleen what I would do if she dies.
Oh boy, we really want the answer to that one on the internet, John. Because John's plan is to have me cremated, have my ashes pressed into a diamond, have that diamond turned into an engagement ring for his next wife. Yep.
That means recycling, right?
I guess.
That was. Not expecting that to be the answer.
You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning in, Wilkie. Check us out more. We have fun. We
the talk absolute about childish giggling coming from the other room is killing me right now.
I almost did, Crusher. I almost spit out my water.
You're welcome.
And it would have been bad, too, because it's fizzy water, because that would have gone right up my nose.
Oh, man, right. I've run carbonated drinks out my nose before. And then, like, after you finally stop laughing and you calm down, you can still, like, feel the bubbles in your sinus.
Yeah, it's horrible. All right, let's see if I can do this the right way, because here's something I would like us very much to watch. See if I can make this work.
So as I was watching this, it's funny because we're going into it, so I can talk about it. As I'm watching the shorts, I'm like, I wish Star Wars would do a what if. It'd be so much fun. And then like maybe 5 minutes later, Tim sent me this trailer, which is almost like a what if. And it just, it made my nerd heart feel so special.
All right, we're going to try this out. See, see what happens.
Space. Time. It's falling apart. The building blocks of the galaxy are getting mixed up. This doesn't make any sense. Worlds will change. People will change in ways we cannot possibly imagine.
Of course his name was Jedi Bob.
I don't love that.
This is wild. X-Wing TIE fighters? Ewok bounty?
Misa going to hurt you, sir.
Darth Jar Jar?
What? Why Tim needs to be alone with his laptop. I want to say that that was absolutely awesome.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
So I took
excitement.
I took a ridiculous Dead to the World nap this afternoon, and apparently in the middle of that Dead to the World nap, John showed the tiny human that trailer, and she was literally bouncing on our couch, so excited. So then tonight she's
hello,
like,
Justin.
They combine Jar Jar and Darth Vader. I'm like, they have Darth Jar Jar? Yes!
Yeah. Coming out of the Millennium Falcon. The screams at my house were real. I'm like, I have never been this stoked to watch anything Lego Star Wars.
Oh, I know.
I've played some Lego Star Wars games. I think they're cool. Don't get me wrong. They're funny. The Lego Star Wars stuff is always very, very entertaining. Okay. This is the first time where I have watched something, Lego Star Wars, and went, oh my God. Now, if they take
this. Not until September?
Yeah, why do I got to wait now? This is bullcrap. All right. Also, if they were to take this and make it into a Lego Star Wars game, do you know how much money they would make just for me on season passes?
It's Disney, though. It's Disney. You know that they will.
God, I hope so.
But,
right?
If you let me play as Darth Jar Jar, good God.
Oh, I know. I would love for there to be an expansion because we've got the Skywalker Saga Lego Star Wars for the Switch. I would love for there to be an expansion DLC, whatever, of getting to play as the Sith and have it be Darth Jar Jar. Like, that would be amazing. I would love to be on the other side of those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope it does well because I want to see more. Like, I was thinking, like, what if Anakin had not been persuaded by Palpatine? Like, what would have happened? Mm-hmm. Would it have been Luke or Leia? Could we see that other story? Like, there's possibilities are endless.
So the great thing about this is if you look this up, which I had to do because I was thinking, are those voices the ones I'm recognizing? That is Ahmed Best. He is back. As Jar Jar. Mark
yes.
Hamill's in this. Bobby Moynihan is in it. Michael Cusack is in it. And Mark Hamill will be voicing Luke Skywalker. So there is a lot going on in this and bringing back classic names, classic people, just a whole lot of classicness. And Star Wars Lego fighting game would be awesome. Could you imagine like Mortal Kombat style?
Yeah.
And when they yell out, finish him, you hit him with a finishing move and like the Lego tiles just go everywhere.
Yeah.
That would be,
that'd
so
be awesome,
cool.
Man. Not even just a Star Wars Lego fighting game. Now I just want a Lego fighting game where Darth Vader could fight Marty McFly from Back to the Future.
Oh,
make
man,
it happen.
So much
oh,
fun.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Because you could take any Lego show, any Lego character that they've built, anything that they've done. And oh man, that could be a lot of fun.
Oh my God. A blast.
So I'm hoping, though, that yes, I know that there's going to be a lot of naysayers in the Star Wars community with the Lego Star Wars because there's naysayers in the Star Wars community about everything.
Nobody hates Star Wars like a Star Wars fan.
But no. If anything can come out of this, if anything can come out of the Lego Star Wars show, I want Ahmed Best to get his own personal redemption arc. I want him to get the love from the prequel fans that he should have gotten, the love that Hayden Christensen has since gotten. Redeem our prequel actors, please. Like, let them be appreciated for what they did. It was not their fault that the script sucked. If you're going to hate anybody, hate whoever let George Lucas write Conversations.
There you go.
Absolutely. But Ahmed Best did get kind of a redemption in Mandalorian, but I know what you're saying. Jar Jar Binks is still alive in the universe. He was in the Aftermath trilogy. I mean, granted, he's a circus clown that gets spit on, but I mean, they could still come back from that.
Right. You know, he got some of it back. He got some of the love back when he came back as Kelleran Beck.
Mm-hmm.
In The Mandalorian, and that was cool to see. Very, very cool to see. And I to use the words of John, there was a loud squee of happiness that when I saw him as Kelleran Beck.
Oh yeah,
very happy to see that. But I want him to get the love for being Jar Jar. Now, we all know Jar Jar is not one of my favorite characters, but it doesn't mean I hate Ahmed Best.
Right, and
I have
Jar Jar
no problem with Ahmed Best.
Jar Jar wasn't written for you. Like,
exactly.
The target audience for Jar Jar at all.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to switch. Oh, no, we're not mentioning that douchebag's name on my air. So. but yeah, let's see. And you're right, Crusher. You can only have Best as Jar Jar. There have been other actors who have done it. It's just not the same. The voice is completely different. And it's just no one does that. Even though he's not my favorite character, nobody voices Jar Jar quite like Ahmed Best.
Right.
Yeah. It's like not having Gates McFadden as Beverly Crusher. You're right.
That would just be a crime.
And yes, I had to throw Star Trek in the Star Wars universe. That's okay.
I've been cast as Beverly Crusher in the next season of Picard.
That would be hilarious.
You'd be so sexy, Jason.
Thank you. I'm getting a wig.
No, can't do it with a wig. You got to keep the bald going. You know, goatee as well. Hi, I'm Beverly Crusher. So, anyway, that'd be awful.
Hi, I'm Beverly.
That'd be awful.
Sorry,
in so many ways. no comment, Jason. yeah. Jesse is the ultimate Crusher fan, so. Let's see, the Federation would dominate the Empire in any sort of conflict, it is known. Yeah, well, they Absolutely. Have their crap together. The Empire definitely did not. So,
yeah.
Very much looking, very, very much looking forward to this Lego thing. When I first saw the trailer, I thought it was for a video game, and it was the first time where I was genuinely excited to play a Star Wars Lego video game. And then I realized, but no, this is airing on Disney Plus, and this will be a show. And I got even more giggly over the fact that this is a show. So yeah, but now I want it to be a video game too. So gorsh, and Goofy's gorsh. So, but yeah, so that's the stuff for tonight. That was what I had planned to talk about, what I wanted to show, what I wanted to. So before we go into our review for what we've got coming up, Jason, what do you guys got coming up on Three Geeks that people should be paying attention to?
First off, everybody go online and hashtag save Quantum Leap, because that Quantum Leap reboot was amazing. And we as sci-fi nerds don't appreciate what we have when we have it. So go check out the new Quantum Leap because it was awesome. Let's save that show. At least can we get one Quantum Leap that has a proper ending? Like, please. And then secondly, you guys can find me at the Geeks Podcast, at 3GeeksJ. We're live Saturdays at 7 p.m. I'm releasing shorts all the time, and lots of fun interviews coming up soon.
Excellent. Yeah, go give 3Geeks a follow. We have some links and information down in the show notes for them. You can find them on Twitter. You can find them on the Instagrams and the Facebooks and the stuffs, you know.
YouTube, I feel like you should temporarily change your name to 3Geeks plus Mike.
We should. That'd be funny.
3GM. Yeah, three geeks and Mike. All right, Kathleen.
Alrighty.
She follows 3D.
I know, Jesse. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jesse's awesome.
All right. Jesse's last awesome. Friday, we aired our interview with some Star Wars. Look, what is this Star Wars stuff that we keep talking about? Anyway, just teasing. Anyway, so we aired our interview with Star Wars droid performer Daniel Bowman. He's been in shows like Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Remember the blue C-3PO? Yeah, that's him. That's Daniel. And we also talked about...
as I like to call him.
We also... Tim also talked to him about his short film called Sands of Fate, set in the Star Wars universe.
So, just a quick note about that one. If you guys do go... This is one of the best... it's a fan film, essentially. But it's a short film. It's about 26 minutes long. This is the best, in my opinion, one of the best fan films I have ever seen. The dialogue is good. Sometimes in fan films, they get a little George Lucas-y, gets a little cheesy. It's not cheesy in this one. There's actually a story that you can follow in this, and it's got a really cool twist at the end that I was not expecting. The way it ends, which kind of sets it up for like Sands of the Fate Part 2. I don't know if they're going to do it, but it's a really cool, really cool short that I watched in preparation for the interview with Daniel Bowman. And I'm really, really, really glad I did. Andor style of cool. I don't know that I would say that it's Andor cool. It's just, it's set on Tatooine. So it's kind of hard to compare the two, but it's not quite that level of cool, but it is very cool. There's a bounty hunter story in it. And, it's got Max Rebo and the Cantina Band in it. So, I mean, what else do you want? And Daniel's also Max Rebo in the movie. So he performs as Max Rebo. So that's kind of cool as well. But yeah, check that out.
But yes, so that one is still on our YouTube channel and your favorite audio podcast provider. Specifically, I mean, we could, you know, always mention Good Pods because they love us.
We do rock the Good Pods. We are still the number one science fiction podcast on Good Pods channel. And we are the number two all-time comedy podcast on their channel. So yeah, that's kind of nice little feathers in our cap. We've been very, very excited to work with Good Pods, and they've been nice and promoting our show for some time now. So it's been kind of cool. What's that?
We're number 27 in TV reviews.
There you go. You're climbing. All right. Now this Friday, we're going to shift the gears away from Star Wars.
Still Star though.
They're still Star. And we're going to talk about Star Trek with Larry Nemechek, also known as Dr. Trek. And that's why the title of the episode is called Hello, Doctor. Now, this is out on our Patreon channel right now. You could be listening to this or watching this for as little as $1. That's all it's going to take to get to the early access. Now, Larry is a podcaster. He's a producer. He's a filmmaker. I could keep going on with all the things that Larry does, but we don't have that kind of time. Now, he hosts two shows on the... on the Roddenberry podcast, the official Roddenberry podcast network. There's Trekland and the Trek Files. So there's those. And he has been working on a documentary for a film called The Khan of Wrath, which is a really cool play on words for the Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. It's all about, and this really happened back in 1982. They built this big Comic-Con basically specifically for Star Trek. And they were gonna have Star Trek theme musical performances and all these different things that are all Star Trek themed. And it did not live long and prosper. That thing burnt to the ground. It did not end well. And so people there started calling it the Khan of Wrath. And so that's where the name of the show comes from, the Khan of Wrath. Because I thought I was like praising Larry for it. I'm like, that was a really cool play on words, and man, you guys did a really good job with that. He's like, yeah, that's not mine. I'm using it from somebody else, from the people who were there. And I'm like, oh, all right. But yeah, really cool. Check that out. We talk about so much stuff Star Trek related. This dude is one of the So since I don't have either of them here, I'll say this. He is, in my mind, is Sam Witwer smart about Star Trek. Whoa. Like Sam Witwer is about Star Wars. Larry Nemechek is about Star Trek. I feel like if we had done a trivia question thing with him at the end of it, he would have been answering it before the question was over, just like Witwer did with all the Star Wars questions. He would have blown him out of the water. Have him compete?
Yeah, ask Witwer Star Wars questions, ask him Star Trek questions of equal difficulty.
That could be fun, yeah. Honora says hello. Crusher Convo says that Larry, yeah, amazing dude. And yeah, exactly. He is so just incredibly ridiculously smart. Let's see. Crusher Convo also says that my episode with Tim on Crusher Convo got us to number 4 on the Good Pods list. Wow. Wow. Awesome. That's very cool. Wow. Did you all go see Phantom Menace in the cinema again?
No. Not yet.
I need to. We were actually planning on trying to go yesterday afternoon, Daniel, and life keeps happening around our house. And yeah, so things kind of fell through and we couldn't make it happen. But so my daughter is chronically ill and she was having a bad pain day yesterday. And I just had surgery on my right shoulder a couple weeks ago. And so, yeah, some things happened and we weren't able to go. We ended up having to cancel our plans, but we will be going this upcoming week because I do need to see that in the theater while it's there, because that is the best way to see Star Wars. I don't care what Star Wars is.
I thought about going, but then I remembered I don't like this movie. So, so I did not. Yeah.
So
I wonder if she'd take the kid to go see it in theater if she'd actually sit down and watch Star Wars with us.
I think she would. It's a theater experience.
Popcorn.
Yeah. Daniel says he understands. Hope he gets the chance. He went to see it today. Absolutely loved it. Crusher Combo says same, Jason. You know, the thing is, here's the thing. This is not my favorite movie. I've also said that many times out of all the Star Wars movies. At least it's not the Solo movie, so it's got that going for it.
I like the Solo movie. It's way better than Phantom Menace.
No.
I tried Chewbacca ripping off a guy's arms. That is so cool.
He did. Yep. Totally happened in that movie.
We tried to get the kid to watch episode 5 with us yesterday, and that did not go well. I'm like, but Darth Vader. Okay, well, I'll come back when Darth Vader's on screen. Like,
greatest movie of all time. Right there, number 5.
She did think that R2-D2 barfing mud on after getting caught in the mud on Dagobah was hilarious.
John says, watch your mouth, Tim. Solo was awesome. But was it, though?
Yeah, it was way better than.
What was it, though?
Phantom Menace.
Sure about that.
The Darth Maul duel was cool. Kathleen mentioned taking her daughter, and then back in my mind, I'm like, crap. I should take Anna to see Star Wars on the big screen with Phantom Menace. Ugh, but I have to sit through the two racist aliens at the beginning, the awful Chinese accent, and Jar Jar, and just exhausting thing.
You know, here's the thing. So for me, like I've said, it's not my favorite movie, but I have really, really good memories about going to that movie, because when I went to the movie for the first time, when it was first released back in 99, we hadn't had Star Wars in 15 years. I thought Star Wars was done. It was gone. Being able to go to the cinema and watch it, taking my 3-month-old son to the theater, even though he clearly was not going to be able to watch it, enjoy it, you know, anything along those lines. He slept through the entire movie, and it was fantastic being able to see that and be in that experience and go experience Star Wars on the big screen. That alone, to me, is worth it. Whether you enjoy the movie or not, being able to enjoy Star Wars on the big screen is something that's irreplaceable. So,
yeah. You know, jokes aside, man, I also had a lot of fun seeing that in theaters. My memories of seeing Phantom Menace was awesome because it came out shortly right after we got the re-release of the original trilogy. So, like, Star Wars hype was real. Why can't we get the original trilogy back in theaters? It's been so long since we've had... They keep re-releasing Phantom Menace.
What I would love to see them do is, now that they've released Phantom Menace, is release them all in chronological order.
That'd be awesome.
Re-release them all. I'd be down for that. I would watch them all happily, go to the theater to watch them all again. Let's see. Daniel says the Phantom Menace is boring when it comes to comparing to other Star Wars movies, but it held a different vibe in the cinema. It's unexplainable. He's absolutely right. It's not my favorite movie, but I will happily sit down in a cinema with a bucket of popcorn and a bag or a drink and sit there and watch the whole movie happily and not complain once.
I mean, I remember my brothers taking me to go see it. And like, I don't remember watching Star Wars for the first time because it was watched so much growing up. But I do remember going and seeing Phantom Menace for the first time and being so freaking excited when the first chord of the soundtrack or the first chord of the theme song hits and the first time a lightsaber lit up. And I'm like, oh, it's so much cooler this big.
I don't care what Star Wars movie it is. When the crawl hits, the music starts and the crawl hits. I'm 8 years old again and just sitting there just completely enthralled in everything that's going on.
Honestly, and this isn't a knock on Kathleen's age, I kind of wish I was younger when I had seen the prequels because I think I would have enjoyed them more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That it was designed for people who were Kathleen's age at the time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 1,000%.
But I think Daniel says, now that you have the option, you have the opportunity to take somebody younger, you should. You should take somebody younger and have that moment through their eyes.
Absolutely. Yeah, somebody who hasn't seen it before, hasn't experienced that before. That was the greatest thing for me when my kids were growing up and the prequel era movies were coming through, taking them and watching them and their eyes light up when all these things were happening. It was, you know, yeah. Being able to watch it vicariously through them was just amazing. Just real quick, Daniel says that Star Wars Revenge of the Sith is my favorite. What did you all think of it? Out of the prequel movies, it is the best of the prequel movies. It's in my top five of all time for Star Wars movies.
My favorite Star Wars movie is Rogue One, but I do like Revenge of the Sith.
Rogue One is just an amazing movie. It is just so good. But like, I absolutely love doing Episode 3, Rogue One, Episode 4. Like, it's just taking all three of them at the same time.
Yeah, you have to. John says, I think Disney has something special in mind for 2027 and the 50th anniversary. Good Lord, I hope so. That'd be amazing. Wilkie says, Return of the Jedi, when it originally came out, was my first Star Wars theater experience when I was a kid. Same. And then I went back and watched the others.
You know what's awesome?
When it came out.
Awesome thing I think I can say. I don't remember watching Star Wars until I saw them in theaters for the re-release. So I saw episode 4, 5, and 6 in theaters for the first time. That's pretty sure. Yeah.
That's awesome.
In the 90s, not in the 80s and 70s. I wasn't alive.
Crusher says that Rogue One is the best. Yeah, it's a very good movie. That is still to date the only Star Wars movie where I have ran out of the theater, got in my car, drove faster than the legal posted speed limit to get home to watch the next movie because I wanted to watch it on my television screen in the living room, which is our biggest television, and watch it go from the end of Rogue One to the beginning of A New Hope because those two movies mesh so perfectly together. So
for all the Disney movies, I literally, except for Solo, we literally left the theater and went back into another theater to watch it again. Like I watched episode 7 like 4 times in the same night.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely adore episode 7. That has all the feels. So, let's see. Daniel says, to confess, I miss the golden Star Wars era. I am 19, but I do appreciate the OT for sure. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate, they all have their strong points. They all have their weak points. That's the thing. You have to, as long as you can, when you're watching them, realize that each of the sequels have their high points and their lows. The originals, for as beautiful as they are, definitely you have to watch them without rose-colored glasses and be able to admit where George Lucas screwed up in those. And then the sequel trilogies, they definitely have their issues. There are definitely some problems there, but there's also some very, very good things that happen in the sequel trilogy movies. Even in The Rise of Skywalker and The Last Jedi, those movies have their high points as well.
I think they're all good by themselves. I think they're good movies on their own. As a trilogy, that's horrendous.
I was looking at what years movies came out because I'm like, I'm trying to remember when I saw whichever Star Wars. So Last Jedi came out in December of 2017. And because of the Christmas movie nonsense insanity, we didn't go see it until January of 2018. Okay. And I'm like, why did I cry so hard during that movie? Because I was very, very, very newly pregnant when I went and saw that movie. I'm like, oh, that's why I cried through that one so much.
Nice.
That'll get you every time.
I'm like, try to remember which one of them made me cry so hard. Why did it make me cry that much? Yeah, no.
100%, John.
Oh, yeah. High point of episode 9 was the score. John Williams. John Williams is a genius.
Williams is amazing.
Yeah. So, all right. Very good. Well, we are over our hour. 5 minutes and 29 seconds so far.
Wow.
But yeah, as much as I hate to crusher the conversation here, see what I did, Jesse? All right. But yeah, enjoying the conversation very much, but we all have other things we need to get onto in life. So we're going to cut this off here and just say thank you to all for watching, for everybody in the comments participating. If this was your first time here, please click the like and subscribe button. Check us out more often. We try to come on every Monday night at 7 o'clock, and make sure that you follow Jason Taylor from Three Geeks as well. All right, guys. Thank you very much, Jason. Thank you for being on the show. We got to do this more often. We love having you on, buddy. And that's going to conclude it for the FSF podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.
Copyright 2024 FSF podcast. Reference to any specific product or entity mentioned on this podcast does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by FSF Podcast. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact us via email at info@fsfpodcast.com.